This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The new TV comedy drama Reaper premieres tonight on the CW network. It's about a slacker who finds out something surprising from his parents on his 21st birthday.
There's something I have to tell you. I probably should have told you this a long time ago. Before you were born, your mom and I sold your soul to the devil.
What?
The series manages to involve people from three different but very potent pop culture cults. Tara Butters and Michelle Fizikas, the creators of Reaper, worked on The X-Files together. Kevin Smith, the independent film writer-director whose movies include Chasing Amy, Clerks, and Dogma, directed the Reaper pilot. And starring in the series, playing the devil himself, is Ray Wise, best known as Leland Palmer in that most quirky of all TV cults, Twin Peaks. Both Kevin Smith and Ray Wise are our guests. Wise recently appeared on the TV series 24. Kevin Smith, in addition to his many film credits and his appearances around the country, has a new book collecting entries from his popular blog. Here's a scene from Reaper. Brett Harrison plays Sam, the big box store employee who turns 21 and learns, to his horror, that the devil owns his soul. The devil, played by Ray Wise as a well-dressed, casually charming fellow, pops into Sam's kitchen to explain some of the ground rules and cook himself a chicken fried steak at the same time.
Hey, look, I get it. It's a big deal. You didn't choose it. Not fair. Nobody's blaming you for freaking out. Yes, sir. Chicken fried steak. Oh, I'm so glad I don't have arteries. Oh, do you want to try some?
No. Do I have to... Do I have to go to hell now?
Now? No. Not now. You're going to work for me here in the earthly realm.
Like, kill people?
Wow. You're a real pessimist. Of course you won't be murdering anyone. You're just going to bring escaped souls back to hell, you know, like a bounty hunter. That's cool, right? You got any root beer?
Our TV critic and occasional guest host, David Bianculli, spoke with Kevin Smith and Ray Wise.
Ray Wise, Kevin Smith, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I want to start by talking about how each of you became involved in Reaper and at which step in the process. Kevin, let's start with you. You didn't write this.
I didn't write it, no. I got a call from my agents who said, hey, there's this pilot that you've been offered to direct, and that's something that I had never heard before. I get a few calls every year about movies that people, God knoweth why, ask me to direct, but I'm just not, I've never been that guy. I always kind of direct my stuff that I write. I'm more a writer than a director. But this kind of just intrigued me. I was like, who would be stupid enough to want to hire me to create a TV show or to create the pilot of the TV show? And when I read it, I kind of understood why they came to me. Because it, based on Dogma and Clerks, it was right in my wheelhouse. You got two dudes sitting around talking a lot. And then you also have normal people dealing with supernatural elements. So suddenly it kind of made absolute sense. I met with the girls, Tara Michelle, who wrote the script, and suddenly we were off and running, and I became a TV director, just like that. It's that simple.
Was there anything in the script that really popped out at you that made you not only think, I see why they sent it to me or thought of me, but made you really eager to do it?
I tell you, the thing that really made me eager to do it, why I wanted to get on board, was because it was a genre show that was created by two chicks, which you rarely ever see. Like, when people think about genre shows, of course, think about Buffy, which was created by Joss Whedon, and things of that nature, Battlestar Galactica by David Icke and Ron Moore. But this was a show that had, you know, science fiction elements to it or fantasy elements to it, created by two women. And it's not unheard of to have women on the staff of a show like that, but rarely ever do women create a show like that. And that, to me, was historic. And I was like, I want to be in bed with these chicks in a professional way.
Now, help me pronounce. It's Tara Butters, and is it Michelle Fizikas?
Michelle Fizikas, yeah. And they created a show that was oddly original while still being, and I mean this in the best way, refreshingly derivative. Like, mm-hmm. there are elements to the show that you've seen before. You know, it has a very Ghostbusters-like feel to it. There are elements of, like, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, even Clerks, Dead Like Me, a show that ran on Showtime a while ago. It's not like we've never heard of anything like this before, but it was kind of combining all the elements into a very unique program that, thank God, the cast is as tight as they are. It's a pretty watchable, wonderful show.
And Ray, what about you?
Well, you know, I think I came in probably very late in the process. You know, they'd seen a lot of actors for the role of the devil, and I came in sort of at the end, and I walked into the room, and I got a favorable response. I think they thought that I could be the devil, and I love the script, which is why I was there in the first place. So I jumped at the chance.
It was very much like Ray said. We had seen so many people come through the door for the devil. Almost a disturbingly high amount of people who were willing to play this role. And, you know, people were good, but nobody quite captured it. And I was in Vancouver at the time. We were that close to shooting, and we were kind of pushing the devil stuff back until we found our devil. And then they sent tape up of Ray. I wasn't even in the room when Ray did it. And immediately, we were sitting there, four or five of us in a room, and immediately we were like, it's Leland Palmer, man. Like, why didn't we think of that? What a brilliant idea. Like, it totally works. And Ray just had this wonderful take on the devil. A lot of people that we saw, you know, did the kind of mustache twisty thing and a very predictable take. And Ray just played it like the most insincere yet sincere used car salesman on the planet, and it just worked. Suddenly we were like, that's the take, man. That's the beat on the devil.
Ray, what inspirations did you have, if any, when you were trying to become the devil for this TV show?
Well, you know, I thought about Kevin a little bit, you know, when they told me that he was associated with the project, because I love Dogma, and I particularly liked the things that they had to say about the devil in Dogma, you know, the kind of, you know, that banter between between Matt Damon and Ben Affleck's characters about the devil, mm-hmm. and his relationship with God and all of that. And so that was on my mind when I went into the room. And then, of course, you know, I've been influenced by probably every movie devil there ever was in some way or another. And then, of course, Leland Palmer was sitting on my shoulder, too. So I played a lot of, you know, dastardly guys, and this is the king. I'm playing the king now, and I'm feeling the power.
Kevin, were you a fan of Twin Peaks?
Massive fan of Twin Peaks. Huge, mm-hmm. huge. When we were shooting the show, I was geeking out with Ray constantly, talking about my favorite moments and being like, what did it feel like, man, when you were making the episode where you actually kind of unveil that Leland is Bob the Killer and mm-hmm. you kill Maddie? And, like, did you know you were making, like, a huge seminal television moment? And you know, it was cool because I got to geek out as if, you know, Ray was sitting behind a desk at a comic book convention and I was looking for an autograph. So it was very cool. I'm sure, you know, Ray must have been like, dude, I'm just here to work. I don't want to talk about Twin Peaks anymore. But every day I had a new Twin Peaks question.
Oh, no, I don't. I never stopped tiring of talking about it, really.
What influences when you were each young in the horror genres or even the, you know, the comic horror genres spoke to you and sort of informed your love for this?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, yeah, for me, yeah, I was a big Dracula fan, you know, a big Dracula buff. Somewhere around the seventh grade, this gal gave me a copy of a first edition of Bram Stoker's Dracula, and I read it voraciously and kept rereading it. And I always wanted to make the definitive Dracula movie, which I don't think's ever really been made. You know, Coppola came sort of close, and some others. I love the old Hammer films; they're mm-hmm. the ones that really actually turned me on to horror. All those great late 50s Hammer films with Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee, to me today, they still can't be beat. But that's what started me on the path to enjoying horror. And then, of course, I went to Romania years later to make a movie and went to Vlad the Impaler's grave, who was the real Dracula.
Right. Well, Ray, let me ask you about acting on a serialized type program. I mean, you played Vice President Hal Gardner on 24. You played Leland Palmer on Twin Peaks. I mean, in these characters, how do you hold on to what you think your character is when, first of all, in both of those examples, it's not even planned out fully? What did you do? What did you do on 24, for example? Did you have to make a decision in advance before you did the first episode as to what your character's motivation was, and then it changed as information was given to you?
Yeah, because they keep everybody in the dark on that show. You know, it's all when I came on as the vice president, I didn't know if he was going to be the bad guy or the good guy or what, you know, what he was going to do. So I played him sort of ambiguously, you know. I'm not going too far one way or the other, but it could be either one way or the other, you know, or both ways. Maybe he went both ways. I don't know. Yeah, and it was, you know, and then, of course, with every weekly script, you find a little bit more about yourself, and then you proceed. But they like to keep people in the dark on that show.
Kevin, were there any differences in terms of directing television than directing film?
Honestly, not. In terms of the mechanics of it, we pretty much rolled like we were shooting a film anyway. I mean, there's always more of a time crunch because you start off with like a schedule of 12 days to shoot an hour long. So it was about a 50-page script or something like that. So, you know, time is of the essence. But still, I brought my DP on, Dave Klein, and we kind of approached it like we were shooting one of our own features. But oddly enough, when all was said and done, I'm probably halfway through the shooting the pilot, I turned to Dave and I was just like, is it me or are we doing a better job with this than any of the features we've ever made? And that was a bizarre phenomenon. Like, we put far more thought into the visual scheme of Reaper than we ever did to one of my flicks. And I chalk it up to the fact that because I didn't originate the material, I felt like I had to earn my keep somehow. So yeah, I was just like, I better make it look good. And it, oddly enough, if you watch it like versus every feature I ever shot, it is more visually interesting, more kinetic than anything I'd done before. Reaper was a total learning curve for me in an odd way.
If I can talk to you, Kevin, about something that's not related to the series, but you have a book that's coming out.
I do.
Which is called My Boring Ass Life, and it's based on your blog.
Yeah, it's a collection of blogs that I've been writing for the last year and a half, which is like the best way to write a book when you don't know you're writing a book. And then somebody's like, hey, you wrote a book. Can we publish it? And I'm like, oh, go ahead, because all the work's done. I don't have to produce anything. It's already been there.
The part that really leapt out at me was the different sections where you talk about Jason Mewes, who was the Jay and Silent Bob and starred in all of your movies. And a series of passages where you talk about his drug addiction and how you dealt with it as his friend, as his director, and your efforts to cure him of his drug addiction.
And, my failing efforts, my many failed efforts, actually.
Well, but I mean, this is what was amazing is because I thought this was going to be a nice little two-part blog and you were going to send him here. He was going to admit it and then it would be fine. And it went on page after page. It felt like year after year, and it was so real.
Yeah, it's actually the part of the book that I'm kind of most proud of, but it is a very compelling story, and it's, you know, it does chronicle like 5 to 7 years of a constant battle with drug addiction that for the moment has a very happy conclusion. Like, he's been clean going on 5 years now. The rest of the blog, there's amusing stuff in it. The rest of the book, which was a blog, there's amusing stuff in it. The first, like, half of it is really, like, almost a daily diary of everything I did. But section of the book is just so worth getting to, because it's a pretty heroic story. And it's odd to say that about somebody, you know, who was, for lack of a better description, a junkie. But he does, ultimately, it's the story of a guy who tries to help his friend who won't be helped, and his friend has to kind of do it himself. And that's where the kind of quiet heroism comes in.
And then the last question before I turn over to some solo questions for Ray is, I'm always wary when I read something in terms of research and it sounds too good to be true. But but I've read that you have sold a movie just by its title.
Yeah. The movie that we start in January is called Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
So this is true?
That is true. And when I went to talk to Harvey Weinstein about it, because we've done most of our movies with either Miramax or the Weinstein Company, I don't really pitch. I've kind of had the luxury of people going, what do you want to do next? And then I just kind of write it and turn it in. But in this one, I was going to sit down with him about some Clerks 2 related stuff. And I said, oh, by the way, this is the next movie I want to do. Let me give you the pitch for it. And I immediately said the title. And before I got into the pitch, he goes, all right, done. And I said, don't you want to hear what the story is? And he goes, Kevin, what could the story possibly be with a title like that? You know, it's not like you're going to do a piece on the Holocaust. This is clearly Zach and Mary make a porno. He was kind of bemused by the whole thing. So, yeah, that was hardly working for me that day.
Well, Ray, I can't let you get away without asking you a few Twin Peaks questions. It's one of my favorite television series ever, and your performance in it is one of my favorite TV performances ever. One of the most disturbingly violent things I've ever seen, and I mean all of the violence is justified, but it's something I've never been able to shake, is the scene in Twin Peaks where you as Leland Palmer finally come out as the killer of Laura Palmer, your daughter, and then end up killing your daughter's lookalike cousin, who was also played by the same actress, Cheryl Lee. And it's just such a seminal moment of television, but an unshakable one. I was wondering, what was that like to film, and how do you respond to that all those years later?
Well, you know, it was about a 14 or 15 hour day shooting that particular scene, and poor Cheryl Lee, she had to die three times as Maddie because they didn't want to reveal who the real killer was, even to the crew. So Leland had to kill her, then Ben Horn had to kill her, and then Bob had to kill her. And so she was killed three times that day by three different killers, and she took a beating, that poor girl. So it didn't affect me that greatly because I was more concerned about her well-being. You know, I was thinking about her and not me. And I know that they brought in a masseuse at the end of the day for her, and I think a first aid lady too came in and asked her if she could help her in any way. So it was a very intense day, I remember.
And in getting to the point in your own performance where you were able to just put a culmination to that entire plot line in that way, was that a lot of stress on you at the time? Was that something you were looking forward to or that you were dreading?
No, I was dreading it. I wasn't looking forward to it. For weeks and weeks, I prayed that it wasn't me, that I wasn't the killer of my own daughter and the defiler of my own daughter. I have my own daughter, and it was kind of like it was anathema to me to think that it was my character who did all this. And then when I was explained by David how the last couple of shows were going to play out, and
David Lynch, of course,
David Lynch, yeah, and he made me see the redemption of Leland and the forgiveness by his daughter, for what he did, so he made it much more palatable to me. But it was something that I dreaded doing, and therefore, you really have to make an effort, and the challenge is there to try and do it well, even, it's something you don't want to do. I think oftentimes those things turn out very much better than things that you look forward to doing,
Mm-hmm. Well, for either one of you, just because I know, Kevin, that you're a fan of the show, do you feel that Twin Peaks could be on television now?
I think probably now even more so than then. TV's kind of taken a big turn. Like back then, Twin Peaks was the only smart game in town. In terms of like the type of television that was, it really was ahead of its time.
Yeah, it was like HBO, on a network.
Very much so.
Kevin Smith, Ray Wise, thank you very much for coming and visit on Fresh Air.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Kevin Smith directed the pilot of Reaper. Ray Wise stars as the devil. It premieres tonight on the CW network. They spoke with our TV critic, David Bianculli.